Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome back to another future fighting, alien invading, laser blasting, serialized sci-fi show on this week's final episode of Cosmic Crit. This is your GM Patrick here, ushering you into the 100th episode of this season of speculative fun. Joining me this week, like every week, are the crew of the Rusty Bucket of Bolts and your hard sci-fi shooters, my friends and your players. To my far left, a rebel leader with the plans to take down the galactic space Nazis. It's Jabber, jabbering away his jamfram.
Hello!
Across the digital table from me, a big tall alien with an actor in latex prosthetics that smiles, make him believe as redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, your tough, trash-talking ship captain ready to draw first. Why, it's Tyler talking as Pradier.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, the genetically engineered last hope for humanity, we've got Drew Dine to play Zilix Thel.
One last time.
And across from him, the robot with a sassy mouth and a gun. It's none other than Rebecca Rowland with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
Hey, these are just generic sci-fi TV show intro things. Even though there were some more movies or TV shows for intros, but I chose not to. I decided.
For a second, I thought you were going to drop Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon on us.
Well, yeah, we're doing TV shows this season, and yeah, there were we went through 100 of them, believe it or not. So, but like so many of the last few have been just Star Wars. There's just so many Star Wars TV shows. So many. Guys, welcome back to the show. This is episode 100 of the season, 362 of the entire series so far, the entire podcast, the final episode of season 5, and the end of Starfinder First Edition on the podcast. This is it.
It's been a long road.
Yeah. Listeners listening to this probably all already have received their Starfinder 2E player core book. I just got notification that they're getting ready to ship out the Starfinder 2E GM core next, I think, in late August or early September. And yeah, we're gonna start ourselves, you know, looking at making Cosmic Crit 2.0 characters pretty soon. But yeah, right now we've been such through a wild long journey on this podcast in the last 362 episodes, not including special episodes and side quests. I think that probably gets us close to like 400. I've not counted. 400 is too many of things to count. Have you ever tried counting up to 400? That's ain't no one got time for that.
Yeah, I get the 120 and I'm like, dah, to hell with it. It's a lot.
It's probably over 200, right? Well, we could probably do some math because we are rapidly approaching our full 8th year anniversary of the podcast. Is that right?
That's wild.
Drew, can you confirm, deny that?
I could say it was right before Dragon Con 2017. So,
okay. Yeah, it was August?
Yeah, I think it was August. Yeah.
August 17th or August 21st, one of the two.
Okay, well then, yeah, this is pretty much our 8th year anniversary as well. I forgot to do that math. But yeah, that means we have done over 400 episodes in toto of the podcast.
Look at us.
Probably in excess of somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 hours of gaming and podcasting.
We've done so many episodes, even my mom is sick of hearing my voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And whenever I call her, she tries to put it on like 1.5 speed and like,
yeah. Like,
oh. Fast forward to the end of this conversation. 500 hours or so of the podcast, probably a little bit longer. Some episodes were very long, but I would say hour and a half or so was kind of our average. Do you know how many days that is? That is like 3 weeks of our lives have been playing this game together.
Feels way longer.
Yeah, it absolutely feels way longer.
This is the end of the road, though. This is all she wrote.
End of the road.
At least for this game, this season, and this series, yeah. Are you guys ready to get back down into it?
I'm happy and to announce I'm putting in for the draft, the podcast draft next year. So put myself out there.
A what? We're having a podcast draft. We'll talk about it in the future. Yeah. Let's get to it. Let's get back into it and finish off Horizons of the Vast. This week's episode begins as a starship from Galerion World sets down in the twilight of the setting sun, touches back down on what at one point you guys thought was New Galerion, the planet searched for centuries since the Gap, who the Starfinders have really set as their aim. But as the exit ramp here descends to this planet, the people that you've settled here feel very real, even though the planet is not what you thought. The hundreds of citizens that line the tarmac and the perimeter around the Viridian spaceport, banners, flags waving, arms pumping up, cheering you on, seem very real. You watch in the distance as electric light up drones and fireworks light up the darkening sky. The sky, who still has it's nighttime, but there is a weird gray light, a whitish tint still roiling off of the supposedly now dead star Massaxenoi up in the sky above you. Over the crowds cheering, you see standing before you some small cars ready to take you to the center of town. Some of the town select and administrators are here waiting for you. There's Kells, Deirdrick, Feldspar. You see Tachi and Tukar, Hardhoof. And of course, Ezrind Shire comes to greet you all as you step off of a transport starship. Hey, folks, figured you might want some space, so I have these barricades set up and a car ready for you. I can move these people back further if you want. They're really excited to not be dead and that you all saved their lives.
Them and me both? Do you say both when it's you and also 100,000 people?
Us. Yeah, all of us.
I'd say I have had enough of space and am ready to be planet side for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there. Well, yeah. I mean, do you want to go back to Sharpwing HQ or City Hall? I mean, we don't have to do a press conference or anything. We could just do a debrief and maybe get you some more medical attention. But what do you say?
Yes, City Hall will be fine.
Yeah, Raimi called ahead and said you guys were nearly dead. And if it was not for him, you would 100% be dead. There's plenty of time to talk about what happened, but you're okay to... I mean, that was a few hours ago. You're okay to head on in?
Sure.
Yeah, I was able to use what healing I have. So we're enough to walk around and talk a little, I guess.
Hey. I wouldn't mind a drink, if you know what I mean.
The car is stocked with beverages, Alex. So yeah, let's get to it. As you step in the vehicle, it's a short ride into Viridian City Hall.
And Prater's just got like a 2x4 sticking out of his like chest. He's like, it's fine.
You could have had major injuries taken care of easily.
We were told not to remove it because it could start bleeding again.
Yeah, that's just a feature now.
Yeah,
it's not a bug, it's a feature. As you get to the Viridian City Hall, you see other colleagues and friends you've lived with for years now. Dr. Veach Veach, Astraka, Gavin Neldener, the remaining Ingolos sisters. Thistle is here, Pradier, and tons of other folks. As you get a round of applause from everyone, the doctors in the crowd kind of come forward and check your vitals, give you some anti-rad pills, some healing serums to take with you, little hydration juice pouches.
I shake up the healing serum and then I pour it into my drink.
I thought you were going to say you're going to start using it like Gatorade and just like wash it over your head.
It's going to be like in the Penguin, how it just like constantly is just like sipping on Pepcid, you know? Mm-hmm. Pepto.
Yeah, and you go back through the secure barrier here. Tachi and Tukor Hardhoof in their kind of Secret Service role will guard the door as the main core group here is offered some drinks and snacks by Ezrind before he begins the debrief.
This is a classic. Like he just like throws his little pizza party and he's like, you're not getting paid for this, but yeah. We threw you a pizza party.
Since you guys all saved the universe and everything, I got like the most expensive shark charcuterie board that was available for purchase on the entire planet, by the way. Like, I really...
Is it just made of those, like, flit dogs or whatever those things were?
It's all meat, Tyler. All of it. Yeah. No the cheese? Best. Nah, that's cheap stuff.
It's cheese meat.
Meat.
Don't you need cheese for a charcuterie board?
Yeah, a lot of this smells suspiciously like zombie bear meat.
Oh, man. There's so few of that. That would be like a delicacy for sure. Yeah. Yeah, Ezrin will continue and be like, so he brings up some holographic displays of space around the planet. We got telemetry that the course for Misaxonoi has changed. Right after that beam of light hit it, it seems, you know, seemingly it's not giving off any radiation, and it's moving out of our solar system. It's on an exit course. So whatever it is you guys did up there seemed to work. I don't know if the white dwarf is completely dead. It's dormant, whatever. But the experts have all assured me it doesn't pose a threat anymore. What did you find up there? What happened?
I look at Asher and I look at her ukulele and then I wink at her.
Wink. I was going to say, Asher's thinking it's definitely the ukulele.
It was totally the ukulele. Difference. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a fun story.
The scientists say that it's in this ukulele shaped pattern now. It's so weird.
There's music coming out of the dead star. I don't quite understand. Somewhere over the rainbow is playing.
Somewhere over the ukulele. That's what I was going to make. It's the
only ukulele song anyone can name. I guess all the stuff that, what's her name, Jess from New Girl did, all those songs. That was ukulele, right? Yeah, she played uke.
I have no idea. What happened up there, right? To be honest with you, Ezra, and I, it's still kind of difficult to explain. I guess if I have to hit on just the key points, we ran into the leader of the Cooling Shadow again.
Again?
Yeah, they kind of crashed their entire ship into our ship. We survived that. Their leader didn't, but... Right as they died, a sort of radioactive space dragon came down. It called itself like the Avatar of Misaxonoi or something. We had to fight that, which didn't go very well, but we did win. Then Zilix used his nanites to reanimate the Cooling Shadow leader's dead body.
Oh, gross.
Took the orb of Misaxonoi, placed it into this sort of cradle of Misaxonoi. Their naming is all very kind of...
Everything is of Misaxonoi.
Now that I'm explaining it out loud, I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah, Misaxonoi had like several thousand years to come up with a better name, and he's like, nah, we'll just call it the whatever of me.
Just whatever of me, exactly. Once the orb was in the cradle, that was when the beam shot out and as you have said, has altered its course, then everything was sort of an immediate explosion sort of situation before Raimi Deus Ex Machina'd into our lives and saved us.
I have a question first. Now that Tyler has said all of that, do we get a reroll for this episode?
You know what? Everyone gets two rerolls. Start punching each other really accurately. Yeah, but when the Peridot Peregrine went offline, it sent off an emergency beacon, part of the upgrades that we patched in last minute. So, but I mean, there's no way we would have been able to get to you guys in time via conventional starships. But thankfully, Raimi said, quote, planetary to dead star teleportation rescue. That should take a couple minutes. Pour me a drink for when I get back. Then he was like, out of here. But they had to fight some kind of apocalypse death kaiju machine first.
Sounds
down in
boring.
Galarian world. Supposedly there's millions and millions of dollars worth of damage, but they saved a whole bunch of people's lives as well down there. Yeah, took him a couple minutes, but then he teleported away and he rescued you all and brought you back.
Thanks Raimi.
Good timing on that,
wherever you are. And I look up at the stars.
Nothing in Viridian was hurt though, right?
No, the shields held up. There's some people with radiation poisoning, but Miss accidentally didn't get close enough to put through the heaviest bands of radiation. Some smaller animals, chipmunks and gerbils and things, were killed and came back to life, but they were dispatched very quickly.
Oh, can we please have a side episode where we all just play regular townsfolk being harassed by radioactive zombie chipmunks?
Hey, Rise of the Vast Animal Control Edition.
We need a holiday episode, so maybe we'll go back and tell that story. As you say this, there's a chipmunk at the window with like dead eyes, like pointing at you.
There's like a deer outside with like this glowing red nose.
I think it all just starts where like Ashran's guy takes us to a capybara cafe, and then things go horribly, horribly wrong from there.
Horribly wrong.
Nice. Yes. That's a good one. Yeah, like goat yoga, and
yeah,
all the goats are zombies.
Yeah,
yoga.
The capybara opens its mouth, and it's just the sound from one of the things from John Carpenter's The Thing.
Ezrand will continue and say, I mean, speaking of Miss Axanoy, the bets our scientists can figure, you know, the researchers kind of came up with, it was some kind of negative plane of existence, ancient being, not really a demigod, but powers beyond our understanding. And whatever it was supposedly able, strong enough to be able to graft itself onto a star, take it over and kind of suck the life out of it, fused with the dead star and made this necro-radioactive white dwarf over the course of maybe millennia? How wild is that? You guys killed a star god thing.
I don't think we killed it. It sounds like we've rerouted it.
Well, we'll figure out how to destroy a dead sun at some point, but who knows when that could be. Yeah.
Who knows when Dead Suns is coming out?
Yeah, no clue. I mean, but yeah, Wyatt had a parasitic relationship with this planet, with our system. Nobody knows, but it seemed to come back here once every 100 years or so. It might be the same thing that brought people here, though. That it has a draw and it's been magically copied into one of the most famous planets, I'm sure, in the history of the world, Galarion.
It was a timeshare situation, I think, is probably what happened there.
Once every 100 years, it could come back and suck the life out of everybody on the planet.
Right, exactly. But he can only do it for this like 1 week. And he's like, I'm not giving up my time slot. I'm getting my money's worth. You know how hard these are to sell.
Yeah.
Anyway,
just Miss Axanoy and a bunch of other elder gods fighting over it,
right? Taking turns. Mm-hmm. Somebody left sand in the tub.
Cthulhu always leaves the worlds wet and messy. God damn.
You guys seem to solve the whole mystery of the planets and you save the world at the same time. I mean, I hate to really toot your horns for you, but I mean, how's it feel? Are you ready to be planet-wide celebrities / Patrick, heroes?
Patrick, I was promised my horn was going to be tooted.
Oh, okay, get with me later, Jamfram. We'll do some tooting. Tooting.
Also, were we not already planet-wide celebrities?
Not really.
I feel like they were already.
No, we were celebrities for like some of the few colonies and stuff that we'd really helped.
Yeah,
out,
just for the nerds.
Yeah. We were celebrities for like the first and largest original colony. That doesn't make us celebrities.
No, we took over like Klostov, which was like the poorest one. So I wouldn't say.
Right. You guys are like ombudsmen or city council members. I don't think that's really celebrity. But now you're like superheroes, planet savers. And that comes with a lot of juice. I got to tell you, I've never seen the colonies and the time we've been here on the planet more united. And, you know, I'm sure we can roll this into maybe convincing all the rest of the governing bodies to vote to continue this open trade, this cooperation amongst us all. And that kind of thing can really take the toll off of less fortunate colonies like our neighbors down in Plostov, who, you know, won't suffer under the strain of tariffs so much. And we can have great allies that we can share things with, like medical advances with Xenilia. We can trade defensive weapons with Celestine. Maybe even develop a United Colonies Defense Force, something we can subcontract out to the Vescarium. I'm sure the Cullen Shadow is not going to be the only enemy drawn towards this burgeoning world.
No, I agree. We should, this momentum we have through this victory should be continued.
I mean, regardless, all these colonies, you know, after a devastating attack like this, I mean, they're going to need some strong leadership. They're going to need someone to give them a message of hope as we bury the dead, rebuild, and reshape ourselves for the future. So, Redacted, I think you're the perfect spokesperson to get that message out in the form of a speech.
Very long speech.
Did you hear what I said, Redacted?
Oh, Redacted heard. Redacted's just not responding.
Oh, okay. See, I was joshing you, Redacted. That's kind of the friendship we got, a little jokey relationship. I poke at you and play little fun jokes like that, and you steal people's blood.
Real classic. You steal my blood when I'm sleeping. I know about the blood stealing.
I put cameras in my room for a reason.
Forgot all about that.
Guys,
for two reasons, but now it's two reasons.
I think before we head out, you know, we've just been under so much stress and so much pressure over the years. It'd be really nice to clear the air. And I think we should go around in a circle and just say something nice about one another. You know, I'll take names out of a hat. He pulls up like hat name poll generator app on his his pad.
I don't have a hat or anything, but
I'll go first. He presses the button and like the six of your names, you know, goes randomly and he lands on himself first. He's like, all right, hold on. I'll do it again. I'm not going to say something nice about myself. One second. Beep, 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 beep. And it lands on Zilix. And that Ezrind Shire Drew says, Zilix, hey, you've been a good friend over the years. I feel while you've not taken the leadership role as Praetier or some of the other fun jobs, you know, your character's been really a backbone of this administration. Real strength of your character was needed from time to time. And I've just been impressed. You had a chance to leave this place, leave New Galarion and be safe elsewhere, but you didn't. And I just think that, well, if you weren't here, maybe none of us would be here. So thanks.
Well, Brady certainly wouldn't be.
Speaking of which, Zilix, you go next and you have to say something nice about Praetier.
Praetier, my friend, I have looked up to you. You have led me down certain paths, and I don't know that I would be where I am without your guidance, your modeling, your... I don't know, but remember when I brought you back to life and you were super mad at me for a while? That was fun.
I still am a little mad at you, friend. Still am a little mad.
Are you still mad at Redacted? Because that's who you have to say something nice about, Tyler.
Oh, okay. You know, Redacted, when we are having to govern a colony and deal with all of the trials and tribulations of dealing with people, it's nice to have someone to turn to who cares more about the science more than, you know, the ego. Your calculations and your cool-headed conclusions were very valuable to sort of keep me from getting lost in all the, you know, politics and emotions of things. So you were a steady rudder in strong winds.
Agreed.
Yes! I got him to agree with me! It's only happened once!
You know what that means? Miles Redacted has to say several nice things about Jamfram.
Jamfram has a smile like a mile wide, just staring, just I'm bells on.
Jipper,
I'm
don't all get your eager. Character's hopes up. How dare you?
Waiting to receive. Jamfram, your blood type is adequate.
That's kind of what I was going to say.
Your plasma is delicious and high in vitamin B.
Jamfram, you were the first person I expected to die on this expedition. And you did not.
I was the second person.
And that is to be commended. End of speech.
You didn't expect Praetier to die first.
Oh, boy.
Jamfram, you know you got to say something nice about Asher and Sky now.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's see. I look at Asher and I look at Sky. I look back at Asher. I look back at Sky. So which one of you is Asher and which one of you is Sky?
It's been years. I've just never figured it out.
You guys said
we
it.
We are one.
Oh, good. I was going to say, I feel like you said it at one point, but then it felt too awkward to bring it up later. So we've become obviously very close, you and me. And I just want to say that we went through some really scary, tough times, and we could always count on our dear companion and compatriot, Asher, and also Sky, to lift our moods, whether it be through music or with dance or with mindful meditation and thoughtful contemplation. Asher and Sky was always a rock upon which we could depend to anchor our decision-making in joy and thoughtfulness. And that's important for a lot of reasons.
Joy and thoughtfulness. Yeah, two of the big ones.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Asher and Sky.
Asher and Shire is looking down at his data pad. It's like, oh,
so I thought your ukulele gambit was really good. I thought it was great. I thought that was going to work.
I'm going to need the skinny on this ukulele gambit eventually. But oh, look, there's only one person left. Asher and Sky, you got to say something nice about old Asher and Shire.
Asher and Shire, you have been a steadfast supporter of Viridian Colony, of New Galarian, and of us. This strange, different, fractured, even discordant at times group of the five of us. You've kept us together. And much like us, the new colonies on New Galarian now are also facing the same sort of fractured differentness. But at least for me, it has been proven to me over and over again through our adventures that we are better together. People need people with different talents, different viewpoints, different perspectives. And we, the five of us, along with you, Asher and Shire, as our wonderful supporter, can lead Galarian in uniting together for the good of all of those who inhabit this planet and for those who come next.
I was, you know, just fishing for something about my new shoes, but no one seems to have noticed, and that's fine. You know, it was like a couple weeks ago I got them anyway. Yeah, I mean, that was nice. You know, we've gone from like radioactive bears to Aspis corporation spies, having to deal with Vescarium and the cult of the shadow, and it doesn't really seem like we've had a lot of team building exercise moments. So it's nice to remember that, we've grown through thick and thin together and become a trusted unit. I don't really consider you guys my coworkers anymore. I think of this colony's admin as a big family. And I'm, you know, maybe you guys are all siblings. I'm like the cool cousin that everyone gets along with.
This is red flag for a toxic workplace.
Mm. I was about to say, are you about family to announce layoffs or that something?
Yeah, we've been talking about it. We're going to have to cut your pension.
Prater hands everyone a pink slip. It's like, now that the world is safe, we do not need you anymore. No, he's like, yeah, I just think you guys as family members. We're not really coworkers. We're leaders.
We're leaders.
I never would have thought that I would have wished that Cattywampus was here, but now I find myself in that position.
you hear a knock on the door. What? What is that? Hello, let me in.
I need you to get in here and defuse this situation. It's bad. It's bad, Cattywampus.
Anyway, I don't want to. Let's take this positive energy and let's brainstorm and let's help Pradier write a speech that's going to knock this planet's socks off. You guys can get to work.
Mm. I think it should start with something cool and hip for the youths. Like, like my dogs.
My dogs. That's what the youths say these days.
They all say my dogs.
Oh, I was woof, thinking woof. They open say dog with pound. Open with some lyrics from a Strawberry Machine Cake song or something. Mm. Are they still cool in the Starfinder universe?
Oh, maybe not they're even old news at this point. Yeah, I was about to say. It's so funny. Even your fictional fan references are like 5 years old.
Out of date, yeah.
Those are both great gazebo suggestions, spit. You heard gazebo spit? They're the new Strawberry Machine Cake.
Yeah, no. Well, great suggestions, but I think I'm probably going to open with some sympathy and honesty. I think I'll probably try that.
Well, we'll see. We're going to fast forward a few weeks later when...
Oh, let's not do that.
A large pavilion has been set up in the Viridian Center Square. Thousands of chairs, bleachers are set up here. And throughout the day, we've watched starships and conventional craft from all over the planet jamming the space station as people from all over the planet come for a VM Day speech. Victory over Misaxenoi. Other colonists and heads of state here fill the front rows to celebrate this new holiday.
I'm wearing a t-shirt that says vomit like it's 1999.
I can't not believe that you didn't own that, Jabert. That seems like a Jabert shirt. A shirt,
one might say.
No, some people have shirts that say Unification Day, 325. I forget if that's the actual year in Starfinder or not, but that's the year I'm going with. Mm-hmm. 325. It is a celebration of the colonies having amended some of their charters, coming together, acting as a single planetary body with delegates coming from each nation. And the first acting Primex of the New Galarian government. It was a very simple choice until, you know, a formal legislation will be drafted and ratified and a planetary vote commenced. Someone's got to lead this planet, and they decided to go with a leader that was able to bring all the colonies together. That of Praedir, a Viridian colony. As the sun sets on Unification Day, the shadows of the mountains fall on Viridian City and allow the bright lights of the center square to turn on. We watch a standing ovation spread across the crowd as Kells Deirdrick welcomes you and the four others of you up on the stage. We see Praedir's face on massive jumbotrons as he comes to the dais and gets to give his speech. Tyler, what does Praedir have to say here?
Oh boy, I know. I mean, before I get into this.
It's funny that two campaigns.
No, shut up.
Made you make a presidential speech.
I want to apologize to all the listeners that they have to hear this again, and just promise that I won't do this again for at least a year and a half. So,
mark your calendars, 2027.
2027. I'll do another face character that gives a big speech at the end of some ludicrous campaign, but until then, yeah, no. So I imagine Praedir is, you know, wearing some new digs, maybe something very, you know, maybe like a really nice kind of suit, something probably, you know, maybe something black, something more muted, and you know, he gets up to address everybody, and you know, you can see that he's maybe sweating a little bit. This is definitely a massive step up for his leadership. And yeah, he'll start off by saying, as a leader, these are the days that you hope, you know, never come to pass. When I decided to try to help out in Viridian, I simply wanted to build a place that could prosper, a place that people would be proud to call a home. I never expected to have to go to war with a cult and a dead son. You never want to have to stand in front of people and have to look at their faces as they are ravaged by destruction and hate. While this is a day to celebrate, we are also mourning. Mourning the sacrifices that everyone had to make to get us to this day of unification and victory. Mourning the struggles that had to be endured in order to bring everything to this conclusion. And while this isn't anything that I'd hoped to go through, I am very proud to stand here today and look amongst all of you who have worked so hard to make not just Viridian, a place you like to call home, but to make an entire planet that we'd like to call home. For you cannot defeat a calling shadow without the light of unity and the strength of a bond between us all. So, I look forward to our bright future, to a new era of unity amongst all of our charters and peoples, and to be able to declare this the first planetary holiday of Unification Day. May we celebrate it from now on, and may we always remember that together we are stronger and that we will always pay homage to the sacrifices that got us here. So let's celebrate.
Oh, yeah. Thunderous applause. Here, here. Rabble, rabble, rabble. No, big old thunderous applause here as you get done with your speech. People on their feet all over the universe, ready to usher in a new age of peace and prosperity out on the outer edge of the drift beacons in this pristine world. Unfortunately,
this new world of Praedyria.
Come on, guys. We can change it. We still have time. It's a new planet. Conspicuously absent from the speech and ceremony are the five heroes of the Drift Rider, not in Viridian, because at that same time as the great speech in Viridian, there's another party happening. We travel south to the theme park Galarian world, where inside a church of Triune, the Temple of the 19, we see a very small congregation of only about 50 or so peoples, many of whom are very similarly looking androids in robes. Here we see Knack, Raimi sitting in the back pews with some personal assistants. We got Wanderer, Adros, Explorer, Alindra, and, you know, obviously your very limited edition 1 in 64 Chase outfits. And yeah, you guys have returned here to watch as a robed Andus 148 steps into the back here with you in Andus's robes of this very large brand new cathedral. Once more, the five of you have helped secure a planet, reunited to save the day. What do you guys think is next for the Drift Rider crew? You know, you've come together and split apart a few times. So what I mean, individually or all together, what do you think you go from here? Like what else is there to conquer if you do stay together as a crew? You know, what are they taking on next?
Oh, man. Well, we got a lot of movies to make. I feel like there's a lot of fairy tales that we can turn into movies. We can capture that intellectual property.
Drift Riderverse.
From our seat of power here in not Disney World.
It's called Galarian World,
and it's in Farlando. It's in Farlando, Dorada.
I don't know, gang.
Dorada.
We're going to have a hard time doing anything without a new ship.
You don't need a new. You already have the Drift Rider 2. Oh,
yeah. And just runs over to the window to look outside.
One was destroyed. So.
Looks outside. Yeah. There's no ship out there.
No, you have like a dreadnought level. You have like hundreds of crew members.
Knack, you have to stop doing that to him. I think that's like the fourth new ship you've promised him.
Look, can't it's keep fun. Doing that it's to fun. Him. He falls for it every time.
He really does.
Well, Not only that, but I mean, so many of your quests have been completed here. Bumfuzzle Cattywampus helped secure the final android, the original androids the Founding 19 was looking for. Even they are seemingly somewhat tired of adventure. They're the two of them are rolled up like cats under one of the pews here in the church, snoring loudly as you guys are chatting. They're real tired. They just got off like a 20-day trip to get here.
They're pooped.
Yeah. What you got, Adros?
Well, the churches told me that they have found what might be an old Serenray temple somewhere on a planet in the vast. So they're sending me out there and see if I can't revitalize it. And this new colony stuff was kind of interesting. Might see if I can do something out there and maybe lead a small contingent of Serenrites out there. We'll see.
Tyler, give a speech as a draw us to convert everyone to Saren Ray. Just a quick 3 to 5 minute speech. Go.
Listen, she's got big burning suns. I mean, what do you not like light? That's all she does. Everything needs light, and it's a big, big burning thing. I mean, fire. Have I mentioned her big burning sun? It's so good.
Well, I'm convinced, and I take off my robes and I put on some different robes.
Yes!
And the other 18 androids are like, Alindra, no.
Alindra was going to say that she's interested in Misaxenoi now and like tracking where Misaxenoi might end up next and what new orbit they might end up in. But now I'm sort of convinced, just follow Saren Ray. So maybe I'll stick to the Joss.
Yeah, it's a good deal. And
sounds like we're all converts. Well, at least the three of us.
And there's perks. I mean, once you get to a certain level, you never get cold. So you can kind of go wherever. And I like that part.
I mean, really, as a Solarian, I think worshipping Solarian makes a lot of sense.
I think so too. I think now that I say it, I think maybe you'd have a leg up on me. So maybe you do follow me, Saxon.
No. Sorry, Adras, I can't worship Saren Ray unless she appears on some cold hard cash. And Knack looks at his wallet and is like, oh wait.
You didn't follow my Kickstarter campaign for Saren Ray Bucks?
It was your cryptocurrency that really set it up.
Yeah, it was my cryptocurrency. But there was an
NFT. Yeah,
and there was an NFT that was just like
they all say, make it Saren Rain.
Rain. Oh yeah.
Oh boy,
I got like 800 of like the super commons, and now I'm out like $1 billion.
Yeah. Clara 247 comes up to you guys and is like, you guys really need to keep it down. We are in technically a church.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You're being so disrespectful to the gods? God, multiple gods.
If you can't name who this temple's for, then you don't really have any room to complain here.
I mean, it's triune.
Okay, fine.
They're like the three-faced god, so it's like
I was trying like a Trinity to thing. Think of the name, but I forgot. Yeah. Andis, we need you for we're gonna start things up now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys, and I take off my Saren Ray robes and I put on my regular robes and my
just naked right in between old habits.
Nothing but a can.
Die hard,
you know. Just and then I wish you all your best in your endeavors, but I believe that my journey, at least for some time, will stop here. And if they're ready for me, if I'm getting called in, all right, I'm gonna follow Clara 147.
Can you give Adras a hug before you go?
I will. I'll give everybody a hug. Big hugs. Yeah. Big hugs. I'm not wearing my power armor right now, so it's just like they're not big strong hugs.
We can actually reach around you though.
Oh yeah, that's right. Strength of like 10 or something. So this is regular normal person hugs.
I don't think I like this as much.
But I mean them very much. I use my abilities to get reach, so I can reach around all my friends and give them all big hugs.
That's how
the old reach around reaction.
That's what I love. The old reach around. That's I give my friends the old reach around. And I go in the follow Claire 147.
Yeah, she brings you to the gathering, the circle of ands, the androids, and you see Andio.
The circle of jerks. Yes.
Jeez Louise, Chippert. Andio, the 10th iteration of the android line, you know, shakes your hand and he steps forward with a large scepter and gives a speech of his own. He says, greetings, everyone. For many years, we've followed prophetic visions of our ancestors from the androids that came before us. They told us that the 19 original synthetic forms in this universe, born from the Kreishas brought to Galarion millennium ago, those 19 souls and forms would be scattered to the wind, but not lost in time. The siblings of the first generation of android were special, a family of beings with magicka, technical brains. They carried with them encoded memories of hundreds of lives, thousands and thousands of years of experiences. The founding 19 went on to work, not just across that ancient planet's surface that was their home, but we eventually spread across the stars. History has not been kind to synthetic life. Many of us were experimented upon, forced to work or worse in this cold universe. But since the God program of Triune has come online, we have been given purpose. If we could one day recollect all 19 androids, many of whom in their time have been touched by the precursor, the created, and the transcendent. If we could bring them all together in a place called Galerion, or Galerion World, then our compact will be complete. This counts. This technically counts. We have waited not just our 19 lives for this moment, but countless centuries. We have sacrificed much. While our outward casings have been damaged and scarred and changed over time, and our souls have shuffled, our base code has always promised that we would be reunited. So let us not wait another moment. Let us complete the circuit laid out long ago on our home planet, in this newly created version of it, with very reasonable ticket prices, might I add. They were sponsored by the park, so I do have to say that technically. You guys watch as the 19 members, the androids, arrange themselves in a large circular pattern along the floor here. You go, there's Andy, there's Ands, there's Anday, and I had fun writing all the numbers out, like 1, 2, 3, 4. But yeah, it's so forth and so on. And this, you have to take your number 15 spot between Andia and Andig, is what I came up with for 16. Andig? That's a terrible name. But and yeah, you all see little sigils and kind of magically sketched circuitry in the floor beneath you begins to light up as you take your spots. There's blue and red circuits that begin racing across the ground, connecting all the androids together. And as this happens, Andis 148, he transforms in kind of a bulkier construct looking version of themselves. And as you link arms with the two androids next to you, they link arms with the ones next to them. It all, this transformation kind of alights across each android, and everyone's formed into a single kind of entity, arms linked here. There's a rhythmic pulsing of energy as light spreads from each android to another, racing around in a circle, eventually moving so fast it's like you're all lit up at once. And as the lights in the rest of the facility go out, it seems like this is drawing energy from other parts of the park. A faint light begins to glow in the center of your circle, high above the congregation. You see what looks like a spinning top, like the main program from Tron. Almost spherical shape, though, as it spins slower and slower. You see three faces peering out from this holographic kind of display, each taking a place overlapped on top of one another, like a squarish green, a circular blue, and a triangular purple face. And in your minds, through the haze here, you can hear a computer language of whistles and chirps and beeps, and it's translated psychically as you hear three voices overlaid upon one another. That which was written and developed has been run. The code is capable. The experiment complete. The android entities have proven their place in the universe. We three have a reward promised and more to come. Install our mysteries into your souls, and you can decode the future of your existence. For your reward is that which was file saved within shall be given hardware once more. There's a burst of magical light, followed by two more, and then four and eight more, and doubling bits of bright flashes happen all throughout the temple here. Little snaps, pops of techno magic flare, and eventually it becomes so bright in here with almost like teleportation magic. You guys have to close your eyes, but as you can open them again just a minute later. You relax and look around, and you are surrounded. You're packed like sardines, as there are now thousands of androids in the temple, spilling out into the park behind you. Many of them look almost identical to one another. As you look around yourself, you are surrounded by 147s, doppelgangers, Andises. You see Pirate Andis. He's here. There's seasonally depressed, sad Andis. He's got like a mug of tea. There's one that has a doctor's robes and stethoscope. There's the village chief, the cowboy, the construction worker. It's a real who's who of Andis village people. Just everyone has to have a distinct, hilarious thing about them. You know, one's got a deer stalker and like a pipe. Right. That's cosplayer Andis. He's just pretending to be Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Yeah. And the four of you do see Andis 147 walk forward. Bert, your season one version, given new physical form again. A young looking Andis 147. Not that old clanky clank one.
Not this old busted hotness.
What's your first thing you have to say coming back to life?
Try not to say something. Something crappy.
I really thought it was going to be Wibby Wham Wazzle, so anything you say is going to be better than that, I'm sure.
Oh, I was hoping I wouldn't have to see you guys ever again. Oh.
Let's see. Is the rest of the Drift Rider crew in the chambers right now,
they're squeezed between tons of versions of yourself. There's like Crosswalk Guard Andis and Phantom of the Opera Andis.
All right, yeah. So there's not like a lot of room here, but okay. I will say I'll whoever I'm closest to, whichever of my crew members I'm closest to. Let's say Raimi. I'll say I'll look at him and be like, "It's good to be back." And let's say I'm close enough to hold your hand. Can I hold your hand, Raimi?
Absolutely.
I hold your hand, even though technically I don't know. Am I supposed to be like of one thing with, am I accidentally going to ruin this thing by like dragging a human like DNA into like triune or something and like contaminating?
Yeah, you've contaminated the source code. The god's dead. Way to go.
Oops.
No, all the Andises are recreated, and there was 19 of them. And if I don't know if 147 is the average or that's like a lot of different versions, but if that's the average, that's like 2,000 different androids reborn right now. It's like a whole city of androids. Yeah, because indeed we pull back and see hundreds and hundreds are here inside the temple. There are hundreds more outside, all returned, meeting one another, forming bonds, sharing stories. And not too far here from the temple, you see the Drift Rider 2 docked, ready to jet off to another adventure. And you know, who knows what adventures await these heroes given form again. What is known is how their deeds over the years have saved countless lives, reached out, brought together communities, entire civilizations, discovered and uncovered mysteries of the past. You guys have stopped evil corporations, galactic threats, all kinds of things from causing death and destruction. The threat of the sieve knocked out more than once, though their sins of the past might not be completely gone. You guys are safe from their threat for some time. But yeah, the epic stories of these characters is likely through. The Drift Rider has been through a lot the last 7 years. Eight years since you just got together. You've grown along with the universe, and throughout the galaxy, we see children in Absalom Station playing under the shades of trees in Jatembe Park you helped save. There's Kishali mothers with their children living in a free and connected Istamak out in the expanses of the universe. And yeah, a whole small subsection of Absalom Station, survivors of the devastation arc that have bonded and healed over the last few years after your rescue. Millions and millions of lives safe, living on because of your deeds. And now, one last time, the original five members of the Drift Rider crew along with old Mr. McScruffins, some friendly space goblins, a big old crew of starfinders under your command, Edros, Solyndra, Andis, Snack, and Raimi. You're together again. We see you ribbing on each other, maybe sharing stories and smiles as you leave the temple of the Founding 19 here. And the lights in the park go down. Night settles over New Galerion as the story of the crew forged in the heat of battle in Docking Bay 94 comes to a close. And we're left with two massive words and fireworks over Galerion world in purple and green letters that read, "The end of everything. The end." Of the podcast. So long, guys.
Yeah. But after the credits, there's a question mark, right?
No.
I think we're good. After the credits, there's a question mark, and then a Dross pops up and says, "Absolutely not." And then, like,
he tries to attack the question mark with
the spear of fates.
Spear of fates.
And then
spear of fates gets lodged into it. The bottom.
Tyler, I'm going to need you to roll a d20 to see if you critically fail the spear of fates.
All right, let me see. No, I rolled an 11. I'm okay.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, that question mark destroyed.
The end.
If Tyler rolled a 1, we would have to do another Starfighter another first season. Edition. No, another first edition season. So you guys would be playing the Drift Hackers. That is indeed the end of Cosmic Crit Season 5, Starfinder First Edition. We rolled it all into one here.
Farewell.
Episode 100 of this season in the bag as well. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to have some special episodes up towards the end here.
Good.
And eventually a podcast State of the Union, which I'm going to make the decision not to invite any of these guys to. So none of you have to listen to boring talk. You'll have to listen to it afterwards, but you don't have to be there live. But yeah, to talk about what is to come in Cosmic Crit 2.0. This podcast is done. We're starting a new podcast completely fresh, and it's just going to have all the same.
It will still have the same name, the same URLs, the same everything else.
We're going to use the same software. We're going to play basically the same game, just the second edition of it. But Cosmic Crit 2.0. is coming down the pipe. I'm realizing it's probably not going to be until like next year for the main feed because the way things are playing, but that's stuff to talk about in the State of the Union. That's it for this episode. How are you guys feeling?
All right, a little tired,
fine.
But yeah. emotionally
yeah
I'm excited
for what's next.
Me too. It's really hard to have like super enthusiasm right now because I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna be so excited to start second edition in earnest. Oh geez.
Yeah. I feel that for sure.
I mean, we've been playing it with Dead Men Roll No Crits. Spoiler warnings. We had a lot of fun over there.
Well,
Jabert and I have been playing it.
Some of us have played it.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jabert and I have been playing it twice a week for like the last 5 years. We've really enjoyed it.
Tyler, I guessed it on Dead Men Roll No Crits in like the first 6 episodes, and then I never showed up again.
You're Rosie Cuswell, right?
That's how much you
hate. No, I was at Joe Greg.
Yeah.
No, Drew was Rat. Ling Ratsburger. Anyway,
that's right. Yeah,
Ratline
like 5 years ago.
That's what it was. Yeah,
I don't remember. Apparently,
any words for episode 362? Very much the end of an era here. Before we sign off, words of wisdom, words of wistfulness.
Just thank you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thank you to all of you guys, and thank you to everyone who's listening now and all the future people who are listening. You're in the future. You know how it all turns out. You can go back and fix it.
Tell me the lotto numbers right now, you jerk. Right now. Yeah, all of our listeners, wherever you're listening to this in the past, present, future, thank you so much. Thank you to the gang here for playing 5 full campaigns pretty much and more over the last 8 years. And yeah, folks, friends, thanks again, and we'll catch you here next time, next game, for another series of epic adventures on Cosmic Crits. So long, everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yarg.
The final yarg.
Yeah. Have fun doing it.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.